And it's another edition of Book Corner. I am Tony Basilio. John Norwood is now joining me. John is an individual who's a proud alum of the University of Tennessee, also holds a master's degree from the University of Southern California screenwriting program. And you may say, wow, a real live, living, breathing screenwriter. You got it. He's also a fiction writer, and he's a songwriter. But most importantly, as he says on the back of his jacket of his new book, Rebuilding Year, John Norwood is a true Tennessee volunteer through and through. And John, the first thing I want to do is welcome you to our program here. Tell me about Rebuilding Year and where this came from, your new book.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show, Tony. Well, really, the idea of this initially began when I transferred to the University of Tennessee and moved into the dorms in August of 98. So you might say I was pretty lucky. My timing was excellent. And I moved into the dorms, and I remember my father called me about a week after I moved in before football season started, and he asked me what all the Tennessee people were thinking about the coming season, what it was like up on Rocky Top. And I remember thinking and then telling him, I said, you know, it's just like people are thinking, if we just wish hard enough, Peyton will come back for one more year. And the mood didn't seem too optimistic, and it seemed like we were facing a rebuilding year. And I felt like that people weren't really moving on. They were thinking kind of, if we couldn't win it with Peyton, how are we going to win it with this T. Martin guy? We don't know anything about him. So as the team just kept winning, it was really an inspiring time to be there in Knoxville. And they just kept winning against all odds. The energy that that created on campus was like nothing I'd ever seen before. You know, everybody just came together. It really galvanized the community. It was just an exciting time to be there on Rocky Top. And I know many of the people who are listening might have been enrolled in the university there, or at least were living in the Knoxville area in 98, and know what I'm talking about. There was a sense of optimism, an energy that was just, at a time when things looked bleak, as Tennessee succeeded beyond anyone's expectations. So a few years later, I had the idea of pairing that story with a kid whose parents are going through the divorce, and parents are splitting up, and he finds out that they're splitting up just before the season starts. So things are real bleak, just like they were, the negative, the sort of, oh gosh, it's a rebuilding year for both the team and the family. So as the team starts to win, the kid and his family, his father gets season tickets for the game, take him and has a real positive attitude about the Vols, which he's trying to sort of impart onto his son about the current family situation. And so as the team keeps winning, Charlie, the main character, finds the strength to believe in himself and what's going on with his family at the current time.
It's really, really, really well done, John. It really
Thank
is.
You.
And you know, one of the things that stands out to me about that book is, And I wrote this in my blog today, and I want to encourage folks. I know you're going to be in Knoxville on Wednesday over at Calhoun's on the River, right before Vol calls. And so I guess it's 7 o'clock. Is that right? You're going to get there?
Yes, I will be there signing from 7 to 8.
Okay.
And then Vol calls start at 8.
I put on my blog, I think it'd be great for any person that was introduced to Tennessee by a relative, by a parent. I think your book is transcendent for this reason. To me, sports, to some people, sports are about statistics, and I get that. I'm not a numbers person. Sports, to me, are about experience, but even more than that, they're about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So on our show, we like to talk about the experience and also the relationship to sports, but the relationship that we have to each other around this thing we call Tennessee football. And it could just as easily be around Cleveland Brown football. It could just as easily be around, you name the sport. It just so happens that we're here. Sure, but it's special. It's so special. And your book really goes inside why that's so special. And I could tell we're like-minded, aren't we? In the way you put this book together, we're like-minded. We see this thing the same way, don't we?
Well, you know, one thing I've always believed is that every season kind of tells a story. The way these teams, what we're experiencing, both in the good and in the bad, some ways parallels our lives. You know, some things have been real tough sledding for the Vols lately, and we've been trying to stay positive through that. And it's always a parallel to life. We learn so much from it. We learn so much from the adversity through the high times and the low. I think that the way the team wins, what these players do and these coaches means more than what's just on that field. It means more than rings and trophies. And I do believe that players and the whole community of Knoxville is better when the team is better. It seems like that there's just a spirit of we can. If the team can, then we can. And I think I tried to translate that through so many people, our fathers and sons, you know, mothers and daughters who are sort of sharing in this experience, and they bond over that. And the father and son in this story are going through this difficult time, but they are coming closer together because of Tennessee football, but they're also developing the right attitude because of Tennessee football. I believe that team believed in themselves. A lot of people didn't. When they weren't ranked number one in the nation. And it's easy to believe in yourself when everybody's got your back, but it's harder when, gosh, the evidence just doesn't look positive in your favor. Peyton was gone. I believe Leonard Little and Joey Kent had just departed. We weren't ranked very high. And that team went out there and beat Florida right off the bat, which they hadn't done in several years. And so I like the fact that a sports team can teach us so much about what we could be doing in our own lives to achieve and succeed in the face of adversity.
Our guest is John Norwood. He's got a book out called Rebuilding Year, which I think would be an incredible gift. And by the way, he's going to be signing books Wednesday, the night of Vol Calls, here in Florida Week at Calhoun's on the River. And he's going to be down there from 7 till 8. And proceeds from sales of the book are going to go to the American Cancer Society as part of what our friends at Calhoun's are doing this month with that organization. And John's taking a few minutes for us here. And John, you hooked me from the very beginning in this book because you have some kids that are playing in the backyard and they're pretending to be their favorite volunteer. I love that, man. I mean, you got me from the very beginning. You jump right in on the story. It just starts out, and you go bang right into it. There's not even really a soft introduction to this story.
Part of my background in writing is I sort of started off as a fiction writer, then went into screenwriting at Southern Cal, and learned there that a great way to get people into your story is to not waste too much time getting to the story. That was something I used to do with a friend of mine when I was Charlie's age. When I was 12, I used to throw in the backyard with a friend, and we would pretend to be various football players that we admired. And I just believe it really does thrust you into the story and thrust the reader into what these kids are. This is who they are, and this is what they're doing. This is setting them up before the big hammer drops on his mom and dad getting divorced. And so I like to set up, I think a very good way to set up a story is to just take you in a little brief introduction to who these people are. And a good way to open a story is to view it as you're introducing the reader to who those characters are before the story really begins in earnest, which really the beginning of the story is when he finds out his parents are, his world gets shaken up a little bit. And I wanted to kind of have the calm before the storm of them playing football out in the backyard. Life is simple. There's an anticipation of Tennessee football is in the air. It's late August. We're all getting psyched up for the first game. And then this hammer falls. His dad is moving out. It gives us a real identity of just a couple of boys, of the main character and his best friend, who are probably out there somewhere all over Knoxville. They're 12-year-old boys out there pretending to be Justin Worley and Marquez North today, and they're out there throwing the ball around the backyard. And then something real, something heavy, something hard hit. And now the story becomes, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to come back? How am I, as the main character, how am I going to come back with this storm that sort of hit my world? Now I've got to come back in the face of adversity.
Yeah, and I don't want to give the story away, but there are, you see this kid develop, and it takes you back to your childhood, those awkward years. There's a lot of awkward stuff that happens to this middle school age and everything that comes from being that age. And then the boy ends up playing hero. We see some real development with him, and you do that so well. And we all knew. We knew how the story goes. Tennessee wins a national championship, and they get to share that together. Let me ask you, when you're setting a story like this up, and you're basing it on some facts that are, it's like a period piece, do you know this is what's going to happen with the character? Or do things just come to you along the way? Hey, I'm going to throw this in there. I'm going to kick this in here. When does it come about that his life takes some of the turns that they do? Is that preordained, or are you open to it as a writer that this is how the story will unfold?
Well, one thing that's kind of amazing about it is, in some ways, I got a little lucky because of the way the season played out. Kind of just had a natural flow to it. I knew I wanted Charlie to deal with certain issues that every 12-year-old is going to face, certain rites of passage of growing up, and as you said, that awkward phase. I wanted Charlie to have to deal with those, but I wanted them to weave in and out of the season in a way where the lessons learned from his father by watching Tennessee football would relate to the lessons he's learning and the battles he's facing, his own day-to-day routine. And so I kind of looked at it as setting it up so that the parallel could exist, that something would happen on the field that would resonate in Charlie's life walking the halls of his middle school. Charlie deals with issues of insecurity, self-confidence. He's kind of a wallflower. He kind of passes through the halls of the school praying nobody notices him. He's very shy. So when Jeff Hall sets up to kick the field goal against Syracuse, it's Charlie realizing, wow, all the eyes are on Jeff Hall right now. And look at me, I'm this guy who's afraid to speak up in class. He just doesn't want anybody watching him. And so little things like that, I don't want to give too much of this away, but I do like to think that it uses that Tennessee football season to shine a light on his own personal struggles and how he can learn to overcome them.
And this is the reason I say it's a great gift, and I'm not blowing smoke at it, because if I didn't think it was any good, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. And those who know me will tell you that I'm surely shooting you straight here. I think it's a great idea for a gift, because you could take this book and take it to the person that introduced you and go down and get you to sign a copy and take it to the person that introduced you to this thing we call Tennessee football and say, write a little inscription saying, hey, you were instrumental in me being a part of this right now, and this is something that we share, and this book is all about a father and a son. The son dealing with the trauma of having a divorce situation and going through that, and that's so hard on a 12-year-old. And his sister's moved out, and she's gone to college, so now all of a sudden he's down two people in his daily life, but he has this connection with his father, who's now out on his own through Tennessee football, and all those memories of 98 that John Norwood brings back to life. It's just so good, and it's so well done. Let me ask you, John, what was your first Tennessee football experience that you recollect? When was the first time you realized there was something out there called the Tennessee Volunteers, and I'm going to be a part of it? When did that happen in your life?
Well, the funny thing is I didn't grow up a Tennessee fan. I became a Tennessee fan when I moved in. So when I started the university, my first real experience was in Florida in 98, and that was the first game I attended as a student. Imagine that. I mean, if you remember that game, that's a whale of a first. To be that's quite an introduction to Tennessee football. I got my first game, we tore down the goalpost. So that hits you real hard when you get bit by the Tennessee bug, and so it's hard not to be a huge fan when you kind of hit the ground running like that. It was just meaningful. I mean, I remember how the campus felt, where it just felt like everybody was in a good mood all the time as the team kept winning. And that's really, to me, the most lasting impression, is just how much fun it was to be there in 98, how much fun it was to be just a student, just a Knoxvillian in 98, and what a great town it was, and what and how much of that is just because of that football team and the fans that, that love it so. And just the energy around the city was incredible. And I look forward to be back that way real soon. I think Butch Jones is heading in the right direction.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And those years and those days were so fun. And a couple mm-hmm. things your book points out. The last time Tennessee won, and won big, the world was so quaint. And it was so much bigger than it is now. Now with all this technology, you say in your book, we've got something new here. It's called email.
Yeah.
You know, and thinking to myself, you know, in 98, the internet was in its infancy. If you had a radio show that streamed live on the internet, in my profession, man, that was the greatest thing in the world. All you had then was terrestrial radio, and we were mm-hmm. all so landlocked. And mm-hmm. now the world is such a complicated place. But one thing remains true, and that's that this week, for instance, with Florida here, boy, it means everything.
Oh, it does. This is a critical game. I hate to put too much on it in case we don't come out on top, but I think this game is a vital factor in turning things around. And we almost beat Georgia on the road. We've shown what we can do, but we just need to really finish the deal. I think Butch Jones, what he has done, speaks volumes for him as well as the fan bases. This team hasn't been to a bowl yet. You sure wouldn't know it if you walked into the stadium on a Saturday afternoon when we're there. I mean, that place is crazy. The fans are loud and as rowdy as ever. The fans are as passionate as they've ever been. I think a lot of that is owed to Butch Jones. And most importantly, I remember when I was at that South Carolina game, sitting in my nosebleed seats underneath the Jumbotron, feeling like, man, when they won that game, I said, it feels like Neyland again. It feels like Neyland. And I had almost forgotten how special this place is. I was living in California during the Eric Ainge years, the last kind of good years of Tennessee football, and I moved back for the Kiffin Dooley years. Things got a little lackadaisical, a little depressed around that stadium, a little half-hearted. And boy, when this third down for what comes on, Florida's going to have a hard time figuring things out. They're going to have to really be on their P's and Q's. When they get loud in there, boy, it feels like Neyland again.
John Norwood, I want to give you the final word. Again, his book is Rebuilding Year. Tennessee, obviously, in the middle of a rebuild themselves. His book about a young boy and a father and a young kid just kind of putting it all back together during that magical 1998. John will be signing copies of this. I encourage you to go down and see him at Calhoun's this Wednesday night from 7 until 8, right up the Vol Calls. So from 7 till 8, I encourage you to check out John Norwood and get a copy of Rebuilding Year. John, on the way out, and I really appreciate your time, go ahead and have the final word here about your project, and thank you so much for appearing with me today.
Oh, great. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'd love for you guys to come down to Calhoun's on the river. I'd love to meet you and sign it, and you can get some great ribs and watch Vol Calls. If you can't make it, purchase it on Amazon.com. Please visit RebuildingYear.com. It's a website. I have a blog that I post and about Tennessee football. And also follow me on Twitter at Norwood Says. Once again, please come down. It's for a great cause. We're going to all proceeds go to fighting breast cancer. Very excited. It's Florida week. Come on down, and I'll see you soon. And thank you, and go Vols.
At Norwood Says on Twitter. Did you say your Twitter handle is at Norwood Says?
At Norwood Says.
I'm going to tweet you right now. Thank you for everything that you've done here and coming on and being a part of that project down there with the folks at Calhoun's. And I really appreciate you taking some time, man. Thanks again.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Tony, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Maybe I'll see you Wednesday at Calhoun.
You got it, brother. Give me a go Vols on the way out.
Go Vols!
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. It's beautiful. John Norwood, a great appearance by him.